Hi, my name's Susie Mathers, and you're listening to Ticket A42 with John O'Hara.
Hello and welcome back to Ticket A42, produced by the legend that is Matt Edwards at AussieTheatre.com. Each month I get to sit down and have a chat with someone fun and exciting from the Australian showbiz community. And this month is a special one because as part of the celebrations, commiserations and commemorations of Wicked closing its Australasian tour for good, see what I did there, after 8 long and successful years, I thought it might be fun to interview someone from Wicked who began her journey as an original cast member back in Melbourne in 2008 and has had quite the journey down the yellow brick road since. And I've also had a heap of tweets requesting an interview with her. So currently playing the role of Glinda the Good in her hometown of Perth, please welcome the very beautiful and very talented Susie Mathers.
Hello, John O'Hara.
Hello. thank you so much for doing this between shows this sunshiny Perth winter afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
That's good. I'm glad you're here. Now, first of all, like, you and Gemma have literally just come from Perth Arena where you have sung for the Dalai Lama.
I know, it was a little bit surreal. I got an email not that long ago from Julie Warne, the head of WAPA, and she asked if I would be interested in introducing His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, here in Perth. So it was a wonderful afternoon, so surreal. And then at the end of, after his talk, Gem and I sang For Good for him, and he was meters away, nodding along to the lyrics of the show, the song. So it was just really exciting.
Yeah, really like cool. Highlight of your life.
Yeah, a little bit surreal. It was very overwhelming. I think, you don't get to sing for the Dalai Lama every day.
No. And so, how did he kind of take For Good? I guess he's probably never heard it.
Yeah, he was. He was listening to the lyrics and nodding along, and when things like forgiveness was said, it was just incredible. He was so attentive and so there with us in the song. And when we were looking out there, the Perth Arena holds something ridiculous, like 12,000 people, and it was full. And the whole front section was people wiping tears from their eyes. It was really emotional afternoon. Yeah. And then when we finished, he took both of us into an embrace, and we just like hugging the Dalai Lama for a good 30 seconds. So yeah, it was a bit surreal.
Amazing, amazing. Now, look, as I mentioned before, you began Wicked as an original cast member straight out of your studies at WAPA, right?
Yep.
And, so let's talk about that for a bit. You started as what?
I started as a vocal swing. Yeah. So the auditions were in 2007, literally minutes after we graduated from WAPA. Uh-huh. It all happened within a few short weeks, and we had about 4 or 5 months to wait and then began rehearsals in May 2008 with the original company. I was a swing, the vocal swing, and when I first kind of...
So you kind of understudied the singers in the ensemble?
Yeah, I was more the singing plots than the dancer plots. However, this was my first show and the first time I'd really kind of been introduced to the concept of a swing. Mm-hmm. So when we got to rehearsals, I had absolutely no idea where to start. I was so overwhelmed by the fact that I was meant to be understudying like the entire ensemble. Mm-hmm. And I remember Mark Myers from America saying, pulling all the swings into a clump and saying, right, swings, so you learn everything. And I was like, okay, yeah, first job, I'm going to impress, I'll learn everything.
Yeah.
And I'm watching, Ellen Simpson and Deanna O'Leary and Romina Villafranca, who were in the ensemble as dancers, lift their legs high above their head and doing all these crazy, amazing dance moves. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even touch my toes, let alone do what they're doing. And I remember ringing my dad and saying, I need to get out of this contract. I'm underqualified for this. I can't do it. And so it was quite an eye-opening start to the show. Yeah. But then when I found out that I was just covering the vocal tracks, I didn't need to worry. It was a lot more fun. And, a really exciting way to start out in the industry. And I think probably the best way for someone to start in the industry, because you really do challenge yourself in terms of your skill, your brain, how you deal with stress, being able to make mistakes and let them go. I think that's one thing that I've really held from my experience as a swing is, you know, there is another show to perfect it. So you've got to let it go or it just eats you up inside.
Absolutely.
And I guess
that's the kind of stuff that, you know, you're training at Whopper, is this 3 years of concentrated kind of training your craft, but you can't really be taught how to be a swing at drama school.
No, you can't. It's something that you learn on the job, and I'm really grateful for my experience of that. I'm really glad I did it. So I did that for the entire Melbourne season.
Yeah. And then you left because you got Sophie in Mamma Mia.
Yeah. So just before the end of the season, I was offered Sophie in Mamma Mia, so I left and said my goodbyes in Sydney. I was there for the opening night in Sydney.
Yeah.
Did my final performance the day after and then started Mamma Mia rehearsals that following Monday morning. So it was a really quick turnaround, but really exciting and a massive step for me career-wise.
Absolutely. And then, because I'm just, this is a very Wicked-centric interview, being the last interview I do with Wicked on in Australia, for the time being anyway. So then you did Mamma Mia, did the Australian tour, you know, wowed people, got great reviews. And then you came back to Wicked, which did you think that was going to happen initially?
No, not really. The contract was coming to an end with Mamma Mia and they had held auditions for Wicked again for the Australian tour for a recast. And I kind of hadn't really thought too much about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd kind of thought that I'd ticked Wicked off the list and that was it done. And I received a phone call out of the blue from Wicked saying, would you like to come back and do the midwife?
Yeah.
Understudy Glinda. And then...
Because you weren't a Glinda understudy initially.
No, I wasn't initially, no. Yeah. So I was just a swing. I had no understudies or covers.
Yeah.
So they rang me, out of the blue, said, would you like to come back and play the midwife and be the understudy? We're getting rid of the Glinda standby, so will you be our kind of main understudy for Glinda? And, you know, at that point, I would have done absolutely anything to be Glinda. So it was a no-brainer for me. I was like, great, another 9 months' work. I get to go on this amazing tour with all my friends, join this show again, and understudy Glinda. And
about... Was Glinda kind of in your sights from the get-go?
Well, yes and no. I think when I left drama school, it was all just about being in a show.
Yes.
I would have stood in the wings holding a curtain just to be in a show. Yeah. You know, it was one of those things where you graduate and all you want to do is get a job. Yeah. And so when Wicked came up, I did initially get given... Well, actually, initially I couldn't get an audition.
Did you hear that, people?
I couldn't get an audition because... we were all at Whopper and I didn't have an agent.
Uh-huh.
And we submitted, I remember being at Whopper and sending the submission off for my class and we all submitted to get an audition time and I was the only one that hadn't heard anything. And then after Showcase, the agent that I got managed to get me in through the door. So that was kind of a tick
for
in
sure
the
was.
Box
yeah,
already. Yeah. And then, so I was given the Glinda material in the audition process and I remember being so nervous that it is probably the worst audition I've ever done. I ended up doing 7 callbacks to get my initial plot in Wicked. Gemma and I were in the final round together, helping each other through the dance call. I remember it like it was yesterday. And so I remember when I saw her in the first day of rehearsals, the two of us screamed at each other like, oh my God, you got her. It's so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so Glinda was kind of, it was there, but it wasn't really an important thing for me. I never really thought that not that I had the ability, but it was more about, for me, getting into the show and being in the ensemble as opposed to being the lead. I didn't feel like I was ready for that sort of thing.
Sure.
So when they offered me to come back, by that point, you know, I very much had Glinda in my sights.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did say that there was a possible Asian tour and it, you know, would be great for me to be kind of within the show at that time because they were thinking of me for taking over the role in the future. So it was kind of jumping back into the ensemble and doing the 9 months of the tour was sort of my stepping stone to taking over the role for Singapore and Korea.
And so then you did take over the role.
Yes.
And so what was that transition like? That's a whole other ball game.
Yeah, I actually, the day that I found out I had been given Glinda for the Asian tour. There's nothing more grounding or humbling than that day for me, because I got the phone call in the morning from my agent. They said, right, they've offered you Glinda for the tour. And I was like, on cloud nine.
Yeah.
Then 2 hours later, stage management called me and they said, we're down some cast members tonight. Can you be the lion cub for us? And so I am like being pushed on by this trolley and being the puppet in this scene, thinking to myself, oh my God, I just got offered Glinda. I'm currently being a puppet.
You weren't allowed to tell anyone either.
No, I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. And, you know, it was a great day. And a really cool transition. You know, I had a bit of a rocky start. I got so sick that I missed my opening night, which was pretty devastating. But after that, it was just a fantastic tour, and it was really great to do the show overseas and travel the world. And, you know, made so many great friends on that tour. And,
And so, yes, well, speaking of that, like, you've toured internationally with the show.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, I'm not going to kind of say that this is the truth, but I would think that maybe you were the most toured internationally Glinda possibly ever in the world.
I think so. The American tour just does America.
Yeah.
The UK tour has just done UK, and most of the European cities have been standalone cities. So our Australian tour has probably been the only one that's done
as much. So
yeah.
Just for everyone that doesn't know, you've toured Australia nationally.
Yep.
You've toured Singapore, you've toured South Korea, the Philippines, and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, Glinda's a big role. Glinda's a kind of way of life, really.
Yeah.
How you have to live your life outside of the show. How did you navigate life on the road, you know, and playing a role as big as Glinda in terms of looking after your voice and staying on top of your fitness?
Look, I'm pretty disciplined when it comes to this stuff. So probably a lot more disciplined than many people.
Yeah.
But it's something that I learnt on Mamma Mia the hard way.
Yeah.
I pushed myself to my limits in terms of being too social and doing too many things. And I ended up getting really sick and having to take quite a lot of time off. So once I took over Glinda, I kind of adopted a very strict, disciplined regime. Mm-hmm. So most Mondays I am silent. I don't talk at all. I do vocal rest, which is one of the funnest experiences, actually, seeing, you know.
I've been out to breakfast with you on vocal rest in pretty bad company. You just write on the napkins.
Really rubbish conversation. But yeah, look, I write things down, and seeing other people's reaction to me being on vocal rest is actually quite funny. Some people write me messages back, forgetting that they can actually speak.
Mm-hmm.
Other people think that I'm have a hearing problem and talk to me really loud and really slowly. So, yeah, it's an experience, but it's actually really peaceful, and I really enjoy it now.
Yeah.
So every Monday I don't talk. I go to the gym before most double show days just to kind of wake my body up and get myself organised. And I don't drink at all during season. So closing nights are usually pretty big.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've been there.
I'm always the last man standing.
So, yeah, and because, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but in terms of Elphaba, I'm not taking anything away from Elphaba. It's a huge vocal load. However, Glinda spends more time on stage than Elfie. Wouldn't you agree? She opens and closes the show, and she opens act two.
Yeah, look, I think it's pretty fairly split down the middle.
You're being nice.
The thing with Elphaba is that it's, you know, it's such a high belt. The show-stopping numbers come from her.
Yeah.
And I think with Glinda, I think there's a misconception that she doesn't sing quite as much because it is maybe broken up a little bit or maybe because it's not such a big pop belt kind of sound.
Yeah.
But the range that you need for Glinda is quite big.
Yeah.
You know, it almost spans three octaves, and that's pretty huge.
Yeah.
So, I end up having to look after myself. It is a big sing, 8 shows a week. And if I do overdo it during the day, I definitely feel it at night.
Yeah. And so, other than Australia, because we all know we love Australia, where's your favourite place that you toured to with the show?
That is a hard one, because I've really enjoyed every city that we've been to.
I feel like you loved South Korea,
though. I was about to say that. Yeah. South Korea was probably one of my favourites. You know, we have great fans all over the world, and the show has been embraced a lot all over the world. But I really enjoyed the culture in South Korea. Mm. I loved being able to explore, and I love the busyness of Seoul and just seeing somewhere new. I felt like Korea is, like Seoul especially, is like the New York of Asia. Like there is so much going on, and it was really great. I really loved it.
Yeah. Tell me your top five wicked moments.
Top five wicked moments. Well, performing for Stephen Schwartz twice.
Yes.
That is definitely a top moment.
Who said that you were, you know, he likened you to the original, Kristen Chenoweth, and...
Old mate, you know, Casey.
Said you were up there. So that's pretty special.
Yeah, it was. It is pretty special, actually. Yeah. It's really wonderful to get feedback like that, especially... yeah, especially on this tour, I think it's really great. It was really great for our company when he came. And
yeah. Stephen Schwartz wrote the music.
Yes.
If you didn't know. Yeah.
Okay. That's number one. Number two.
Dalai Lama has to be up
there. Dalai Lama. Yeah, that is definitely up there now.
Yeah.
Now that I've just done that.
Yeah.
I think the first time my family came to see the show, that was really exciting and really great. I'll always... Like, do you know what? All the closing nights. Every closing night I've had, because...
What about Manila?
I was about to say that. Manila closing night was probably one of the biggest closing nights we've ever had. And it was a huge emotional journey for me too. I seem to have this horrendous ability of getting sick in really important points in this show.
Yeah.
And I had laryngitis and it was horrible. And eventually got through the show, but that audience was just incredible. And the I think it was the Wicked Hurrana that we had afterwards.
Afterwards,
it was pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, that has to go down as one of the best closing nights that we've had. But I'm a bit of a girl that has cried wolf with this show. I keep going and coming, and it's a bit crazy.
So that's four.
That's four. And I think, to be honest, Wicked opening night in 2008, I'll never forget the date. It was the 12th of July, and it was the biggest opening night party we've ever had.
Yeah.
And it was such a momentous time for me as a performer, because it was my first opening night for a show, and it was, there was such a hype around Melbourne at the time when the show opened, and it was just a really amazing thing to be part of.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so tell me your most favourite part of Wicked and your least favourite part of Wicked.
Okay. My most favourite part of Wicked, I do love coming down in that bubble. It is really... awesome. Yeah, it's really cool. And I, you know...
Scared ever?
No, never scared. No. Except I've had a couple of ensemble members hit the bottom of the bubble, and I, because I'm not expecting it, that scares the bejeebus out of me. Like, that absolutely makes me jump out of my skin. But in terms of the actual bubble, I'm never really scared being in it. It's fun. But then I'm a roller coaster girl. Like, I'm, you know, Adventure World every Sunday.
Oh, Perth girl, take the girl up there. And what's your least favourite part of Wicked? Gotta have one.
Oh, look, the least favourite part that I'm in? Or the least favourite part
Well, you've
stop?
Done a lot of it over the years. So yeah, you get
I think
to say whatever.
My least favourite part. Actually, I don't mind the Lion Cub. I always thought my acting was really good at the Lion Cub. No, the flathead. I used to hate getting in that flathead.
Yeah.
When I was originally a swing, I used to have to go on the flathead quite a bit, and I hated it. I almost fell over twice, and it was just an absolute nightmare of mine for that thing to go falling to the ground and me to be looking like a cockroach trying to stand up. Like, it just would have been horrendous. So I'm quite glad I don't have to do that anymore.
Sure. What does it mean to you to be finishing the show here in Perth? Because you're a Perth girl, so it's all kind of come full circle, really.
Yeah, it really has. When they rang me last year and said, hey, we need your help, can you come back? I thought long and hard about it, because I felt like I'd said my goodbyes to the show and I'd left it and I'd moved on, and I was, you know, carving out this new life in London. And the thing that took me back was because we're here in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a special thing to be performing to family and friends, and being in a theatre that I went to as a kid to watch, you know, where the dream began, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so it is very special to be wrapping it up here. And, you know, I think emotionally I'm probably not at the same point that I was when I left the show in Manila, because I absolutely didn't think I was coming back. And so it was a real pull on the heartstrings, where I've kind of had a second coming again. Yeah. I've been able to come back, and so I think it'll hit me closer to the day. But to be with the company and wrapping up the tour, It's really awesome to be back with everyone, and and that means a lot. It's really great. I didn't think I would have this opportunity. So.
Yeah, awesome. And so, yes, just speaking of London, you're going to go back? Like, what happens after Wicked for you?
Yeah, heading back to London. So it's quite quick. I'll be back there within a fortnight of the show closing. So, yeah, we'll kind of step back off the plane and kind of start back where I left. Yeah. So I was just kind of starting to get things happening over there before I came back. So I'm hoping that I can kind of pick up where I left off and hopefully do something soon.
Yeah, unless someone offers you a juicy role here in Australia.
I know, then I'll come back.
Which we hope. Great. Well, look, that's all the hardest stuff out of the way. You want to take the Ticket 42 test?
Of course.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so, well, the first question is called The Kid in A42, and it kind of like references the name of the show. And my moment when I knew that I wanted to be in the big shows. So where were you when you knew that you wanted to be in a musical, a big Broadway show?
I was in New York watching Footloose.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It's a terrible
show. It's a terrible show. But I was 15, almost 16.
Just there with the family?
There with the family on holiday. My parents, for some reason, managed to get me out of year 11 for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happened, but I missed my exams and everything. But they took us on an American holiday. We did everything in 6 weeks, plus went to the UK and London and stuff. And at that time, I was quite heavily into sailing. Mm-hmm. And I was still studying music at school, but I had absolutely no interest or knowledge about music theatre. I didn't really know much at all. And Mum and Dad took us to see a show on Broadway, and it happened to be Footloose. And I was sitting there watching these performers, and I just thought, oh my gosh, that is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
That is where I want to be. Yeah. And it was after that that I came back to Perth, and you know, I used to sing and dance when I was a kid, but at that age I was, you know, more into tomboy things.
Yeah.
And it was after that trip that I came home and I went back to Johnny Young Talent School.
Yeah.
And I started going to see musicals. I remember seeing Sound of Music here, and Fame came here, and I was, you know, I was there for them all. And that's when it kind of ignited that kind of passion for me to want to do music theatre.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Footloose. There you go.
Footloose.
Change someone's life. tell me what's got your goat. What really gets up your nose?
Mobile phones in the theatre.
Yeah, well, today.
Today I had a woman filming from the front row, directly behind the conductor, and it absolutely gets my goat. And also checking your text messages or sending emails. Seriously, put your phone away for 3 hours.
Because people don't think we can see it, but we can see it. It lights up.
Oh, it lights up. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're in your bedroom and your phone goes off, you can see it. It's the same in the theatre. You are an anonymous face out there for us, because it's in the dark and we don't see you. But the minute you turn your phone on, I can see what colour lipstick you're wearing, or what shirt you're wearing, or what tie you've got on. You are 100% visible to us, and it is the worst thing. And I get so angry at it.
I can tell. tell me, this is called Very Superstitious.
Yeah.
So us theatre creatures can be superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of ritual that you have nightly or performance wise for Glinda, Wicked, you know, Wicked centric?
I always knock on Gemma's door before the show, no matter how late I'm running. I'm always running late.
Yeah.
I always have to have a moment with Gem, and then there's certain people that I have to wave to or see, or, you know, before the show starts. Hitman Mike, who is our head flyman, him and I wave at each other every night, and if one of us forgets, I almost get into a bit of a panic, which is so stupid, but it's just this kind of connection that you have to know that you're ready for the show and ready to start, and yeah, that's kind of my thing.
Fab.
Yeah.
Tell me, doing Wicked, the five things that you can't live without.
Throat coat.
Which is?
A tea that I order from America.
Yeah, because you can't buy it here, can you?
No, you can't buy it here.
It's not illegal.
It's not illegal. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
No, it's not illegal, but they don't sell it here. Yeah. It's actually getting harder and harder to be able to get to Australia.
Yes.
But, yes, I have that. Shots, the electrolyte tablets.
Yes.
I've been,
which Gemma's good husband introduced us
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I've been Reeves. Using them a lot, which I've found really great.
Yeah.
I can't live without my steamer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My steamer. Eclipse mints.
Yep.
Fifth thing I can't live without on Wicked. looking around my dressing table. Vocal zones.
Oh, I'm obsessed with vocal zones.
Yeah.
Vocal zones are these like lozenges. They don't sell them in Australia anymore.
No.
So we order them in bulk. I'll post something about it when we post the podcast to the website. But if you're a singer, you got to get onto these vocal zone things. They're amazing.
It was Jessie J that kind of put them out there a little bit in the public. But they're amazing.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got me through the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Legit.
Awesome.
Now tell me, have you ever had a diva tanty, or have you seen a diva tanty?
I've seen many a diva tanty.
Yeah, because they're funny in retrospect.
They are funny in retrospect. Yeah.
Do you want to share a story about a diva tanty?
I don't know if I...
You don't have to mention names.
No, I'm just trying to think. They're one of those things that they're really funny at the time.
Yeah. Any wicked diva tanty?
Ooh. A couple... I'm not going to say which tour it was on. an ensemble member got stuck in their costume once, and I've never seen someone panic so much to try and get out of the thing. Like, it was almost like...
Stuck how? Like, Zip got stuck?
Zip got stuck, yeah.
What costume were we talking? I can't...
I'm not saying... No way, I'll get in trouble. No. Do you know what? To be honest, I haven't seen that many diva tanties. To be honest, it's been quite a crazy tour. There hasn't been that many.
That's very true.
I think maybe I've thrown a couple of diva tanties.
I can't remember a diva tanty.
I threw a diva tanty about the person filming in the front row.
You did today? Yeah. I was trying to read my book and you had a diva tanty.
Drives me nuts.
This is called Phone a Friend. Who's your one-stop shop? Like, if you need a call to say, I'm not coping, or I've got some great news, or I need some advice, who would be that person for you?
I've got a lot of people that are like that for me. I'm very lucky that way. It would be too hard to narrow down one. Anne Wood, Lara Mulcahy, Gretel Scarlett.
Yeah.
Australia's John O'Hara.
Yeah. Yes, I made the top four.
Gemma Reeks. To be honest, they're all such wonderful friends, and I've made lifelong friends in this industry, and people that I would absolutely, without a doubt, know that I could pick the phone up to and could spill everything to, and they would tell me everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, now, in the big shows, we always get a little bit of a show crush on someone. And that usually defies, you know, sexuality, availability, age, whatever. I've had one on you, and there's just, you know, I'm not into that. So, have you ever had a show crush on Wicked, and who was it?
I've had a show crush... I currently have a show crush on Wicked.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who?
I have a massive crush on Farrick Scott.
Yeah.
He is quite possibly one of the nicest guys I've ever met and had the chance to work with. Beautiful. He's such a lovely guy, and I...
Is it his accent?
Yeah, it's that English. That's me. I'm into English boys.
Well, you're Scottish originally.
Yeah.
Can you do a little Scottish accent for us? It's so good.
The thing is that my Scottish... I have to explain it. I know, I have to explain my Scottish accent. I'm going to do it because... Okay. So I was born and brought up on the northeast coast of Scotland, which is like country Scotland.
Yeah.
So, you know, the normal Scottish accent from Edinburgh or Glasgow, you can kind of understand. It's like, you're right there, pet, you're right here, like that sort of stuff. But where I'm from, like if I was to ask you how you are, I'd be like, hey, John, fu ye dean. And I would say, ne bad fu jasel. And so the thing about a Scottish accent in Aberdeen is that you kind of really understand what I'm saying. So there you go, in Scottish.
You just sound like your mum.
I know.
Joycey. Well, Farrick Scott, there you go.
There you go,
married
Farrick.
Man, three children.
I know.
That's a showbiz romance. Yeah. Genie in a bottle comes to you, grants you three wishes before Wicked finishes. What are your wishes going to be?
My wishes are that everyone that's currently on the show, actually past, present, everyone, is looked after for the next however long in their life. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, being part of the entertainment industry, and especially in commercial theatre, it's really hard to know what's next. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that everybody finds their next journey and finds it easily, and it's not horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can be.
It can be. Yeah. It can be a long time between drinks.
So that's one.
That is one. Mm-hmm. I would like $1 million.
Great.
So that I can move to London and not worry about money.
Yeah. And Three.
And three. Genie in a bottle. I wish I had more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had more time. Perth has been an incredible season and it's been so wonderful to do the show here, but I feel like it has gone so quickly and everything has been jammed into such a short amount of time that I've run out of time to do everything that I thought I could do here.
Yeah.
So it would be really nice for time. I would ask for that.
Lovely. Switcheroo, ask me a question and I'll answer it. Anything you like.
Okay.
I'm a little terrified because you've got that glint in your eye.
Who would you be, Elphaba or Glinda?
Well, I'd like to sing Elphaba, and I'd give it a red hot go. But I actually like the acting narrative arc of Glinda. I think that that's a really beautiful story to play. Because she kind of is self-aware, you know, and realises her shortcomings and tries to make up for them. And I think that's a really beautiful thing for an actor to play.
There you go. See, that wasn't mean.
That wasn't a mean question. No. Okay. Well, what's a secret skill that you've got that no one knows that you've got? Do you have a secret skill?
I can play the mouth trumpet.
Oh my god, you bloody can. And I want you to do it right now.
What am I doing?
So we've got to pick a song.
Do you want Ballroom Cross or do you want...
Yeah, so everyone that's listening that's a massive Wicked fan, there's a little, you'd know this, there's a scene in the show called The Ballroom Cross which doesn't have any dialogue or singing. It's just people walking around in ball gowns, which is kind of random. But we call it the most expensive scene in Wicked because of those beautiful ball gowns. And Susie is going to sing it to you in a trumpet voice.
Okay.
Take it away.
That is the trumpet part.
Did you start higher than you thought?
Probably.
That was really high. Amazing. So this is called This or That. It's 20 questions.
Yep.
Rapid fire. You tell me. Sweet or savoury?
Savoury.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Mum or dad?
I can't answer that question. Joyce or Gordon? Both.
Both. Black or white?
White.
In or out?
Out.
Walk or run?
Run.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne? Or Perth, because we're here.
Melbourne. I didn't even choose Perth.
I know. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxes or briefs?
Briefs.
Christmas or birthdays?
Birthdays.
Kisses or hugs?
Kisses.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Day or night?
Night.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
You.
Mates or dates?
Mates.
Mates. Awesome. Now, look, we are going to just shamelessly plug anything that you... Have you got anything you want to shamelessly plug that you're working on?
Nothing that I can talk about yet. Bugger. So, we'll just leave it at that.
Well, can I shamelessly plug something?
Yeah, cool. Plug yours.
So, well, everyone that's been listening would know that I took my show to Adelaide Cabaret Festival. We premiered Dedications there and it was just received with open arms, which is overwhelming and awesome. And so we're booking other seasons and I can announce officially that we are doing a Perth season here downstairs at the Madge, August 20, 21, 22. Book tickets at ticketek.com.au. And before that, we're doing a season at Chapel Off Chapel in Melbourne, August 14 and 15. Book tickets at chapeloffchapel.com.au. Also, we've got more dates to follow, so there are more coming. Stay tuned. If you follow me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or our Facebook page, Dedications, it'll all be there. If you want to follow Susie Mathers on Instagram and Twitter, what's your handle, Suze?
It's Susie Mathers.
Yeah.
That's really
that's
tricky.
Imaginative. And mine, of course, is John James O'Hara, both Twitter and Instagram. Please tweet me about the podcast, hashtag TicketA42. You can download it at aussietheatre.com.au/TicketA42 or subscribe on iTunes. Susie and I are going to take a quick selfie.
Woohoo!
Lovely. Now, look, it's been an absolute pleasure bringing you Ticket A42 whilst on tour with Wicked. I had the idea to do the podcast when we were back in Melbourne last year, and I just wanted to make a huge shout out to all the Wicked fans that have helped make it a huge success. You're all bloody legends. Now, the podcast will, of course, continue beyond Wicked, and I've got some great guests lined up over the next couple of months. We are out of here June 28th, aren't we?
I know.
It's literally, at the time of doing this interview, we've got about 16 shows to go, 17 yeah. shows to go. So if you do come to the show, if you do come to Perth, please make sure that you say hi to us. We all want to say thank you and have a great June. And Suze, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Over and out. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.